Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to get started. But before we do, I want to make sure you know about something incredible about to happen, which is Sales Girl Summit. This is our very first conference. It's happening on June 12th through the 14th. Now, we've done plenty of in-person like trainings and workshops and kind of larger scale events, but this right here, my loves, this is our conference. And I'm so excited to announce some next level speakers. We're going to announce that in just a couple of weeks. But, you know, being a sales girl, it has nothing to do with the item that you sell, the service that you sell, the product that you sell, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with being the girl that people want to buy from, that people want to say yes to before they even know the offer. It's about being the girl that is completely like world-class and has complete ownership over her industry because of how much command she has over her message. I'll tell you what, I'm starting to believe it's not even the person who is really the best at what they do, but it's the person that's best at communicating at what they do who ends up winning and who ends up being known as the girl to go to for blank, fill in the blank for whatever you do. And, you know, our mission is to really create world-class sales girls that can walk into a room and have insane command over their message, over their beliefs, and just be so irresistibly charismatic that people are just so drawn to them. And if that sounds like something you desire to become, the Sales Girl Summit is for you. So June 12th through the 14th at the Faith Center. I've got a sneaky little hunch that once we announce our speakers, the event is going to sell much quicker than what most people are probably anticipating. So I cannot recommend enough for you to grab your tickets. I've heard a few people saying that they're going to get their Airbnbs with all their sales girlfriends. And I think that is so incredibly fun, but they don't have their tickets yet. So I cannot recommend, like I said, enough to grab your seat. Hopefully there's some platinum seats left. There will probably be some VIP and then definitely general admission. So we'll link it all in the show notes below. And I cannot wait to see you there. We're going to have so much fun and do our sales girl thing. We have so many surprises for you. All right, let's go. I'll see you there in June. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, you have the great pleasure of meeting Hannah Wardenburg. She is a wealth strategist for women. And what you're going to hear today is a really amazing conversation around how women can and should build wealth. And what does wealth really mean? What is in the way of women entrepreneurs specifically looking at wealth like an amazing journey to be on and something to even be partners with your spouse in. So,
love it.
Hannah.
Yay!
We're so excited.
I'm happy to be here.
This has been, awesome. I know for Macy and I, even like this past year of thinking about money, like kind of being out of the weeds of certain business things. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, now how do we think about money so that we can help our clients think about money and everything. So just, I want to hear about your background because it's really incredibly impressive. You didn't just decide you wanted to do this. Mm-mm. You're quite credentialed.
Yes.
So tell us some story.
Yes, ma'am. I would love to tell you my story. Thanks for having me here. So I started as a financial advisor right out of college. You want to know how I started selling to clients?
How?
Please. Door knocking. Ooh. I literally went door to door to door. I remember walking out of my house, five doors down at least, so it wasn't the same people that were seeing me come get my mail, my pajamas in the morning. And I just started door knocking.
In your own neighborhood.
In my own neighborhood.
Wow.
And that was how the whole thing started. And really, I just had such a passion for talking to people about money all this time. And it led me to, after I became a licensed financial advisor, started my own business. COVID hit. Of course, everyone took a little bit of a pivot. I wanted to figure out how to help my, you know, women, people like me, people were just getting married, starting families, and money coaching became something that I was aware of. And I was licensed and credentialed, but I wanted to figure out a way to help people on a deeper level. So pivoted, stopped having to do the door knocking route. That's when I took School of Sales, Guide mm-hmm. Culture for the first time as a money coach, working with women, newly married couples, helping them really figure out the foundation of their financial plan. And then I went back and became a wealth advisor, and I worked with multi-millionaire families, but really the families that had that generational wealth set up and working on transitioning the wealth down to the next generation. Mm-hmm. So that's where I've spent the last couple of years of my career. And now I am a certified financial planner. I just left $100 million in assets was where I was whenever I was managing at my corporate job. And now I'm just so excited to bring all of this back and work with the female entrepreneur who is making really great money. But now it's just time to make that money work as hard as she does. Mm-hmm. So
now you said you started at being a financial advisor. That's how you started your story. But what about before then? Did you always like money? Did your parents talk to you about money a lot? How did you make that initial decision?
I'm glad that you asked because I grew up as the fourth of five kids.
Wow.
So we all know that you all have different kind of stories money than your siblings, even if you grew up really close.
Wow.
So my big old blended family, my parents, I was, like I said, the fourth of five. And I just had always kind of this responsibility I had felt because there's an age gap a little bit, but my parents, they just did everything for us. Like, gosh, they did everything for us and gave us such a beautiful life, such a beautiful childhood. And they are just now kind of getting into this. When I was getting into college and deciding what I wanted to do, they were starting to talk about retirement. And so I started to pay attention to those conversations that they were having. And I just realized the importance. And I just would hear them say, quite honestly, you know, I wish we just would have done this. We had all y'all kids. We had so much going on. Like we just weren't paying attention. And we're all adults now. And they were having these adult conversations with us. And so it's just such a huge driver for me is to help people get started wherever they're at.
Wow.
Because the impact that, you know, that has down the road, like I just want to give them that opportunity to start now. So I had not entertained becoming a financial advisor, but I, until college and then more so until my first internship outside of college, but it just became so clear to me when I got there and started hearing these conversations that everybody needs this skill. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs this skill.
Yeah.
And I mean, a huge driver for me is to give back to my parents.
So
I mean, it's on my heart. It's why I'm going to do what I do.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You know, our coach Myron talks a lot about how he's like, you know, a sale today is not going to change my life today, but he's really focused on creating wealth for his children's children.
I love when he says that.
And when you think about this, like just really wrap your mind around this. Okay. So you're trying to create wealth for yourself. That's one thing. Creating wealth for your children, like when they become adults, and then their children, they like that almost feels impossible to even think about. It feels so abstract, but you see it all the time that people are doing that
all the time.
And I think a lot of people think, well, I have to make a ton of money today. I have to leave this earth a billionaire if I'm ever going to do that. And what I learned from you is like, that is not the case at all.
No.
So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the whole idea of building generational momentum, Myron talks about that a lot.
Yeah.
And
I love
just
that.
That's such a huge driver. There's a difference between the generational wealth and generational momentum. But time is really your greatest asset.
Yeah.
You to have the ability to start right now, wherever you are at, no matter if you're making $100,000, no matter if you're making $1 million, you're not behind. You just need to start. Like I always say, the secret to getting ahead is getting started. And it's having the ability to cast that vision for yourself. Like you both have done many times of seeing yourself down the road, actually picturing your children's children.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It feels intangible, but those are the conversations that, you know, trigger a lot of people to actually start. It's just so incredibly important. And it's so hard to cast that vision. We're all working hard. We're all in the day to day. We know we want to take that vacation this year. We got a new house on our mind. We've got, you know, whatever it is that we are striving for, seven figures in business. We have big goals. And we're like, if as soon as we can do this, it's going to take us to that next step. But we're not thinking about that next step. That's 40 years down the road.
Right.
That feels so far away.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly important. And so bringing a wealth strategist into the picture to help you start facilitating that conversation with your spouse, with your partner, with whomever.
Yeah.
It just makes it feel a little bit more attainable because I can share the stories and paint the picture and give the examples of what life is going to look like for them down the road when they start now and show them what happens if they wait any longer to start.
What's so inspiring to me to think about is I feel like my misconception has been it takes so many generations to change generations, wow. right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I now believe is, like, it just takes one person to change a generation like that. Like, I mean, my dad grew up incredibly poor, mm-hmm. and he changed everything for generations forever. But it's not just through making money, but it's the skill set. Like, you transfer wealth by transferring the skill of how to manage wealth, right? Would mm-hmm. you agree with that?
Yeah.
And the more that I'm learning about all of the little skills underneath what you can do with money, mm-hmm. I'm like, whoa, there's a whole universe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a whole universe of people that know stuff that other people don't know.
Yeah.
And to be able to, like, get a straight up plug to the person mm-hmm. that has
yeah.
like all this knowledge, like, hey, I'm going to transfer it to this one person. And that one person mm-hmm. of course does it, but then shares it with their family.
Yeah.
Like, that is how you change generations yeah. right there.
And one of those stories I love that you tell the most is yeah. how, when you were on family vacations, mm-hmm. your dad would hand out presentations
all the time
and teach you sales skills.
Oh yeah. I try to.
But he did. And he set that foundation. Yeah. I don't know how old you were when he started that, but he was planting that seed in you. And so by taking control of yeah. your money right now, wherever you are, whether you're a spouse, whether you're a parent, whether you're, yeah. you know, you're just getting started. Imagine if you had those conversations, but they were about principles of money,
oh,
which
yeah.
there's so much underrooted yeah. in that, in your sales skills. But those are the types of conversations that you can facilitate with
oh, yeah.
your family to change generations.
Oh yeah.
And like I said, it's a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's not
yeah.
what's in the bank.
Oh yeah.
It's setting that foundation for them, developing those principles inside of your mm-hmm. family. And one of the coolest things is, as you start to build wealth, or if you're working with a wealth strategist, you can actually have family meetings. Did you know that?
Mm.
Like, you could bring your kids into the meeting.
That's cool.
And, you know, we can customize, you know, what we decide to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
maybe
cool.
maybe we're just starting with, hey, we feel really good about where we're at. We don't need to cover all that today, but I've got my 10-year-old.
Ooh.
And we started
talking about homeschooling, baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
We started having conversations about we started having conversations about, you know, spending money at the grocery store.
So good.
And stuff like that. We would just love if, like, he could come with us.
Oh my
and maybe
gosh.
We start talking about things that he could think about.
That's so good.
I love that.
I've seen it play out time and time again. And every time I'm just, I'm like, oh my gosh.
And
what you're doing,
you
you're
know,
setting them up for just
what it really does
success.
Is make money, like, unemotional.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel like a huge part of building generational wealth is, like, you getting right with how you think about money.
For sure.
I was just at a workshop, and someone was telling a story about how their parents, like, really believed that it was noble for them to basically, like, not make a lot of money. She said it much more eloquently. And she said, you know, now that I have, like, a lot of money, we just built this house and the ceilings are so high. And my mom will say things like, oh, I'm so dizzy. Like, the ceilings are so high. And it's in what she takes it as is, I mean, she's, like, kind of judging me for making money. And I'm just like, wow, there's all these subtle little comments that people
yeah.
have heard and taken in from their families of mm-hmm. how they think about money.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that is step one, honestly, for women to get right about money mm-hmm. and then to believe that it is noble and that it is good
yeah.
and that it is actually critical for you to be able to be somebody that has so much influence to, because, you know, that wealth really proves, like, hey, I have results based on my beliefs and what I say and what I do, and you can trust me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I could go off on that all
yeah.
day about the importance of mm-hmm. women being in the conversation.
Oh,
women,
yeah. Well,
women,
let's talk about women. Yeah.
yeah, let's talk about it, because, like I said, I could just talk about it all day. I've seen it play out a million times in my experience in my career, where the woman's kind of the one sitting back
yeah.
and she might be a little reserved, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And
honestly,
is that mostly happening when the woman did not make the money? Have you ever seen a situation
yeah.
where they did make the money?
And they sat back?
Or
yeah.
like just those different scenarios?
I've seen every scenario. And it's the just kind of the dynamic of the person. But honestly, it's really my biggest thing when I'm talking with that woman is kind of finding out how those conversations are happening behind the scenes too. And maybe pulling out some things that she wants to talk about. And maybe that's not getting talked about because there's a more dominant person
yeah.
driving the conversation. So it's pulling out really what's in here for the woman running the household that's either also running a business or she is just running the household. And what does she want to do with the money? What is mm-hmm. her desires with the money? Just pulling that out of her. Mm-hmm. Sometimes as women, it's just a mental load. We just carry mm-hmm. all of the thoughts, all That's the pressure, so true. All the, and no one's asking her.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm just so excited and passionate about working with the woman is being able to relate.
And you're specifically wanting to work with, or you do work with female entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Yeah. So talk about that, like the entrepreneur space versus the spouse yeah. space. And I'm not saying that yeah. there's not spouses involved.
Sure.
But a female entrepreneur, like you just have to think mm-hmm. with a complete, I wouldn't even say like independent brain.
Yes.
Like you just.
Yeah. So yeah. true.
You know, you tunnel vision a lot of times mm-hmm. toward this one vision, this one mission. And you're married to that in a lot of ways when you yes. have a business.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, I can speak for us, like our spouses are so on board.
So on board.
Like they would come to that meeting and be like, You tell them about the money. Like, yes. let's do this. With money. You know, so that's like our situation.
Yes.
But like, I'm just talking about like just silo off the woman to being just so married to that vision.
Yeah.
I don't know. Talk about that because there's a lot. There's the revenue. Mm-hmm. There's the bottom line. There's mm-hmm. the top line. Mm-hmm. There's the decisions that you make.
There's the taking care there's of the your costs. People.
There's the taking care of, yeah, that whole team. And like wanting to be wise for now. Wanting to be wise for the future. Like, do you help people with that? Do you?
Absolutely.
What wisdom do you have? I think Ooh. We all need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you realize how much you just rattled off that we
I probably like, did
do
one.
That
one.
We know, do I'm as a woman. And that's just the thing. Like, God, female entrepreneurs, they are working so hard and they're doing what they're passionate about and they're making money because not only because they're good at it, but because they're so passionate about it and they care about people and they are, you know, like really going all in. They've got that tunnel vision on what the goal is. So when I work with women, I just help them zoom out a little bit. And that's just kind of that breather. Sometimes it's like that feeling when you get in like the bubble bath yeah. at the mm-hmm. end of the day and you're just like,
yeah. yeah,
I can just kind of take a deep breath.
Yeah, because let's detach just a second. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Detach, such a great word and way to describe it. Like you are running full speed towards a goal and then setting the goalpost a yeah. little bit farther. And that's all great. Yeah. It's great. But the woman really needs to zoom out because mm-hmm. we just carry so much in our brains and hopes and wishes of what we really are trying to accomplish. And we know it's like attached to this deeper meaning somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, oh, I want to hit 7 figures. And like, I know something down there is yeah. the reason.
Yeah.
Kind of detaching, pulling out, zooming out and defining the reason is the exact thing that's going to keep propelling them to move forward without burning out. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times start with why. Mm-hmm. A lot of women have read that book and, it's so important, but really the same thing for your money. It's yeah. like, why are we chasing the 7 figures?
Ooh, yeah.
Why are we chasing the 20 million?
And what would that answer, like, what does that change? If it's like, well, actually, I don't. I actually want 600,000.
I mean, I think it just sets the expectation for, like, your level of work that's yeah. sustainable. Because as an entrepreneur, and as many entrepreneurs are, especially female entrepreneurs, let's just talk about the last 5 years and the rise of the female entrepreneur, the successful entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. We don't have all that much data to go off of about what life looks like for that woman 10 years from now, 20 mm-hmm. years from now, when so she true. Pivots, when she pivots, when her kids are having babies, she's having grandbabies. And we just don't have that much data to go off of, like, how long mm-hmm. are we going to chase that goal? So the goal of having a wealth strategy while we're in this season of making really good money and we're, you know, expressing our talents and passions and putting them out to the world, mm-hmm. like, how can that be sustainable, mm-hmm. your lifestyle now, mm-hmm. today and every day?
So good.
Even one day when the business is, you know, you decide to make a decision maybe to pivot or mm-hmm. sell. Like, let's talk about that. Like, mm-hmm. all these women, female entrepreneurs that, you know, you run a really successful business today. Do you know that's what you want to be doing 10 years from now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
20 years from now?
Mm-hmm. Right.
30 years from now? I could keep going.
Yeah.
Because the whole point is living a life you love today and every single day. And mm-hmm. so kind of having to take a portion of your success mm-hmm. today to set it aside for your future.
Yeah.
Just know that it's doing its job. it's working for you, but that is just to protect you down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even like, of course, we want to think about the future.
Yeah.
But even as a female entrepreneur in their day-to-day work today, we train sales girls and create sales girls. And I can tell the women that are in this place of desperation. I can sense it. I can smell it. I can feel it. And it's like an energy that people just don't want to be around. Mm-hmm. And the best way to not have a sense of desperation is to not be desperate. Mm-hmm. And the best way to not be desperate is to know that everything is going to be okay, whether you get the sale or not. Mm-hmm. And one thing that has been, we're here at our Inner Circle Mastermind, and Kat and I have been just kind of like reflecting on all the things that we've tried. Mm-hmm. And you have to be willing to play and try things and be creative and take risks. And I can imagine how hard that would be to have fun when you're absolutely desperate and you know it's make or break.
Yeah.
And I think that female entrepreneurs would be so much more light and creative and have so much fun in the business if they knew their money was right. And I just gave you the example mm-hmm. of like when we're out of town and we're here doing our thing, we all know where our kids are, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We all know my mm-hmm. kid is with his nanny that's amazing and at school. Yours mm-hmm. is with your people. Yours is with your people. And so we can be here having fun and being lighthearted because we know they're okay. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know they were okay, you would be like panicked, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't know if they were okay, if you just didn't know where they were.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or if you hadn't heard from in a while. Mm. And if you think about your money like your kid, you want to be able to be present in your business and in your work knowing that money is working for you. Right?
I could not have said it better.
Yeah. So if you don't do it for any other reason, do it so that you can work better today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hey, the byproduct is that in 20 years, it's going to look really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And time's going to pass anyway. Right?
Exactly.
So you can either let it pass being frantic and hoping, wishing, and praying that's going to be okay. Or hey, life's good.
Life is good.
Either way, no matter what ends up happening, mm-hmm. I'm going to give it my all. And money's working for me, period.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Speaking of like working for you, will you talk about the difference between wealth and wealth strategy just how those two
That's
layers?
A good question.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good question. I mean, building wealth, there's just not there's no one definition mm-hmm. of wealth, right? It's not a number. It's not $1 million. Yeah. It's not a certain, you know, type of portfolio. There's no one definition of wealth for every person. I mean, somebody could have, you know, they could be making just what they're making and feel wealthy, feel abundant. That's the definition of wealth is abundance.
Wow.
And so defining your version of abundance isn't the giant house with the gated, you know, community around it and horses in the backyard. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but some people that is.
Right.
And so that's why it's so important for the woman to define what wealth is to her. We've all played the comparison game and it's just when you are so solid in your belief and your core and your foundation of what your version of wealth is, you're never going to be feeling like you need to chase the next sale, the next, you know, portfolio, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So, but the wealth strategy really it's breaking all of the components of your money down. I mean, I don't use the word money a lot. It is your money, but it's like breaking all of the components down, taking all of that, say a crumbled piece of paper, right? Mm-hmm. Just ironing it out. Mm-hmm. Like that's the picture that we paint whenever we develop the wealth strategy. We take what are your desires? What are your goals? What are your thoughts? What are your beliefs? Mm-hmm. What do you think about money? What do you want to teach your kids? We just take it all out and we put it on paper. Mm-hmm. And not only is it delivered to them in a way where they can actually visually see it, but then it's you know, they get this opportunity to really like live it out and believe it. And like, this is my,
there's an action plan around their money.
There's an action plan around it. And then they can take it, implement it, you know, and actually just feel just this ease with it. Mm-hmm. So it all comes back to just knowing what is your version of wealth? What is your definition of wealth? And detaching from the dollar sign, detaching from the goal.
Have you played Cashflow, the board game?
I saw y'all playing that. I need to get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a board game. It's basically like Monopoly, but for actual real life scenarios. Mm-hmm. It was made by the guy who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert
Kiyosaki.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And can I tell you the number one thing that game did for me?
Yes.
It made me see money like a game. Okay. Not like a huge, heavy mm-hmm. burden. Mm-hmm. And now that it, and my husband and I have played it, and like our brains like think like cash flow right now. We kind of talk about it. And one of the cards is it's like a dodo card. What's the blue card? It's like,
it sounds right. Yeah.
It's like you have to buy a coffee for, you know, whatever. Oh, yeah. Or like you have to buy a new phone, $800. And I'm just like, Austin, that's a dodo. We don't like we talk like that now, you know? But like, when you say strategy, what mm-hmm. I hear is like, what game are we playing here?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the same thing as business. Business strategy is like, what game do you want to play? Do you want to play the volume game? Mm-hmm. Do you want to play the profit game? Mm-hmm. Do you want to play the growth game? Do you want to play the, like, there's so many games that you could play. And, you know, everyone in here, they're like, well, I don't know if I want to do it this way, or if I want to do it this way, or if I want to do this way. There's no way that's better. It's simply, what game are you playing?
And the one that's right for you.
And the one that's right for you. Yeah. And the one that feels the best, and the one that you will enjoy mm-hmm. playing. And so when I think about strategy, I literally am like, okay, what board game can we lay this out at? And mm-hmm. it makes you, when you think about it that way, you're like, ooh, this will be fun.
Yes.
But there is nothing worse than the process of learning how to play a new game.
Oh, yes.
The absolute pain. When Kat and I were playing Cashflow, we went and played it at our mastermind. They were explaining it to us, and the way I was like trying to understand.
Honestly, the worst part, this is kind of interesting.
It was so painful.
The worst part was being told we were going to play a game and walking into the room where it was going to happen. It all. I was like, I don't want to walk into this feeling of having to listen to someone else be excited about something I'm not excited about, and I don't know how to do it. And
it was painful.
It didn't take long for it to be like, oh.
Yeah.
But the tension.
Oh, yeah. The whole time. The whole
was
way
a
through.
Lot longer than like anyone would actually want going into something like a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, he got up and kind of explained the rules. The way my brain wanted to shut off as he was explaining stuff, I was like, I don't want to listen to this, but I want to know how to play this. And I had to fight to understand the rules.
Yep.
Then I played it with Austin, my husband, and I was like so excited to explain it to him.
Right.
Yes.
Because I knew how to play the game. I was like, I have one up on him. I'm gonna kill this game. I'm gonna beat him. And when you talk strategy, you're like, we're gonna lay it all out. My thought is like, that feels hard, but it'll be so much fun when I do know.
Absolutely. And just think about that initial strategy that you're setting up. Like, picture 6 months down the road when you've played the game and come back and you're like, dang.
Yeah.
Look how far I've come.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, I'm on track now. Oh, 100%. We're going to take this move. We're going to draw this card. It's so much more fun.
Yeah.
It does take that. It's like getting a business off the ground or whatever. It takes that hard mm-hmm. work. The foundational work has to be set.
Yeah.
But what I love that you shared that story was, you know, Myron's like, all right, we're going to play this game. You're like, oh, but then I watched your stories.
Oh, yeah.
And as he was coming around, and you, like, you were leaned into the table, you had your cards, he was kind of over your ear mm-hmm. and giving you direction, and like, I could see you were excited, and you're grabbing other people's stuff, whatever.
Get my money, get my paycheck.
That's right. I was watching, I was like, but you had him
100%
kind of behind you, giving you, like, kind of speaking that life into you of 100%. What to do.
And you know what was interesting? There's two things that I really am taking away right now from this. Mm-hmm. One of them, I got to get a payout from an investment that I made. And I learned that investments are not passive income. They are actually just an investment that you can now have into your bank account.
It's not cash flow, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not flow. It is just money. And
potential.
Potential money. I know. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so I cashed out and it was not what I wanted. It was like a way less. And Myron's like, what did you learn from this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I think like where you, well, I'm just saying like that was his like wealth advisor,
yeah,
a wealth strategist.
Yeah.
Like, what did you learn from making this
investment
very weak decision? And I was like, this is stupid. And he's like, no, like you, like what you can learn is to make bigger bets to get bigger rewards or whatever the case.
Yeah. Right.
Like honestly, you know what he like translated? He should have said is like do the math. Like this math never would have worked out.
Yeah.
Right?
Right,
but like I thought,
made an emotional
put in a couple
decision.
$100,
yeah,
like save, like did I think I'm doing this right? Like, I'm like checking the box of like make an investment,
yeah,
not doing it strategically,
yeah,
with the thought of like, oh well, this just makes sense. It's math,
yeah,
it's going to pay off,
yeah,
because of the data or whatever,
yeah.
I wanted to say one more thing. Oh, this is so crazy. So what was really draining as we were learning to play this game, even when we were having fun, the whole table hadn't played it before. The worst part was drawing a card and not knowing what to do with it.
Oh, it was
the decision fatigue around what is this a part? Is this a duplex? Whatever none of us even had enough money to invest into like a building, but we had money to invest in like a stock or something like that. We were like, hey, wait.
What
is that stock? What are the odds? It's like $10 to $40 could go up, and where are we at? And I'm like, knowing how to play a game. Mm-hmm. The next time I play, the next time you played, it's like, oh, like this I'm used to seeing this.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so like the pattern of making those decisions,
oh yeah,
the amount of energy it saves you.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I think just helping clients see on the front end, it is going to be some energy.
Yes.
And that is okay. Like,
right.
And that is like a skill set in general, right?
It is.
Like the front loaded energy.
Yep.
Doesn't always feel good.
No.
Yep.
And luckily for you and for us, like we work with female entrepreneurs mm-hmm. who aren't afraid of a little
challenge,
a little dirty work.
Yeah.
We love the burn and we really love the reward of the burn.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I love that you're leaning into that. And not only like I didn't know what to do with it, but some of the decisions you're probably pulled to at first, kind of going off what you said, was maybe an emotional thought.
Yeah.
You're like, okay,
assumptions.
Like, what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
And
like,
then you
and it was a little bit of like, I just want to get in the game. Like, I just want to make an investment to see.
Yeah.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Like in a rush.
Definitely.
Energy. Yep. And we know that when we're in a rush, something's off. Red flag, red flag, red flag.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that was crazy about the game is, so the goal is to make more passive income than your expenses.
Yep.
That's the goal.
Yep.
And you know how it was easier to do that?
How?
When you made less money.
Yeah.
Because the lower amount of salary that you made meant you had lower amount of expenses, which made it easier to make more money from your expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And the more money that you made, the higher your expenses were. Just that's how the game was. And it was so – like I was jealous of the people who was like a janitor. Like that was their job because they had such little money.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, you actually need less money to be able to get out of the rat race.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other thing that I love – this goes back to money mindset too.
Yes.
Is every time that you passed over payday, you had to ask for your paycheck. If not, you did not get paid.
Ooh.
And so the process of getting in the habit of like, I would like my money now. I would like my money now. I would like to get paid now. Asking for money so that you can have something to do with it.
Yeah.
So this goes back to money mindset, like decisions, mm-hmm. being able to understand what you're doing. All of it is like this living organism.
Yeah.
It all has to work together mm-hmm. really beautifully. And having a home base that has all those pieces of the game that you can always, I love that visual of someone coming over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Being like, I'm looking at this card with you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to help you and tell you exactly what mm-hmm. it says.
But they can also see the whole board.
But they can also see the whole board from top to bottom.
Yeah.
That cash flow game is something you should definitely play with your clients.
Definitely. Let's just work that into our strategy day. We're going to play. That sounds fun.
And
let's
I'll tell you, Myron said him and his son played it every week and during his comeback years.
Yes.
Because they wanted to get in the flow of thinking like, it's a game.
That's awesome.
We're making decisions. Yeah. It's not a problem. Yep. All of that.
Yeah.
So important.
I just finished reading Tony Robbins. It's Money, Master the Game.
Oh, okay.
That is a thick book. But I mean, Tony Robbins knows money's a game.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, hey, y'all, you're not paying attention. Like, you got to get in this game. You can't sit on the sidelines.
100%. Mm.
Like
also, my husband's reading a Tony Robbins investment book, and he says it's so good.
So good. So thorough. And it focuses a lot on money mindset. Another book I just finished was The Psychology of Money.
Oh, is
and
it good?
So good. But that's where leaning into the realization that every decision you make, and you all say this too, like every decision you make is an emotional decision. People mm-hmm. buy based on how they feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
People make decisions based on how it makes them feel or how they perceive it's going to make them feel.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard when you are the one in the day-to-day, you're doing the work and, you know, the money's tied to you.
Yeah.
And then you have to think about how you think about money, what your beliefs are.
Yeah.
Did your parents hold on to it
so
or did
true.
They willingly spend it? Like where do you fall on the spectrum based on what you've observed?
Yeah.
But yeah, just kind of all bringing it back to you have to know what you really want.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to say, I can zoom out. And even if you're not to the point yet where you can do that yourself manually, which is hard for anybody to do, even mm-hmm. myself, I'll raise my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Having that someone to come over your shoulder
mm-hmm.
and just have that moment to zoom out.
Yeah.
And to take a look at the whole board.
Yeah.
Say, let's just look at it for what it is.
Yeah.
and kind of give you some options. It's not about working with a wealth strategist or an advisor. It's not about having somebody that is smarter than you, knows more than you, tells you what to do, and you just like follow them blindly.
Yeah.
Like my job is to sit in the co-pilot seat.
Yeah.
Like you are the driver here.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of to take in all this information and make all the checks and say, okay, you know, we've got this path that we can go down. There's A, B, C.
Yeah.
Here's pros, cons. Here, what button do you want to push?
That's right.
Like you're the one. That's right. You're the one driving the car. You're the one flying the plane.
Yeah.
You know, but you've got this somebody that is able to kind of zoom out.
Yeah.
Take a look at the whole dashboard and see what we're working with and give you some options.
So good.
Hannah, tell people how they can work with you and where they can find you, because I think a lot of people need a co-pilot.
Yeah.
One that has been there before and can just chill and show that everything is going to be okay.
Yeah.
We're going to land safely.
We
are going to land this plane. Uh-huh. Yes. Well, the best place to get started is by coming to my masterclass, Becoming a Wealthy Woman, where you'll learn how to define what wealth means to you, desire more of what you really want to do with that wealth, and then design the portfolio that's going to help you get there.
Yes.
And you don't have to do that by being a millionaire, right? You don't have to do that by...
That's freeing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the best place is to attend the masterclass, find out more, and then we have our Wealth Strategy Day where we actually dive into all of your, you know, beliefs about money, exactly where your money is today, and start to map out that plan for where you want to go.
So good. So, and so we'll link all of that in the show notes and in the description. And then where can they find you on Instagram?
On Instagram at The Wealth Collaborative. Very excited. You can follow me there. And there's so much more exciting stuff to come. And
I cannot wait to see how you help women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And set people free.
That'd be so good.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you for having me.
We're so excited for you. We're so proud of you. And you're going to kill it.
Thank you.